Hello, happy September. It is September 2021 as we're recording this. And I hope everyone's doing good. It has been a minute, and I cannot tell you how grateful we are that as our audience, you guys are just amazing in that you keep taking us back, even when we disappear for weeks and months on end. But it's just to let you know that right now what's happening is Kathy is currently filming upcountry. I wouldn't even call it upcountry, but she's like in a little town called Jinja. For those of you who are not from Uganda, it's right next to River Nile, at the source of the River Nile. She's on part of a series called Mpeke Town, I believe. It's Mpeke Town. And their production had been put on hold, like everything else, thanks to this panoramic. And they just got back to work, and it's actually a collaboration with, I think it's about three countries. So they're really trying to get a really great production out, and we do wish her the best. So that's the reason why we decided that she would be recording from Jinja as and when she could get the opportunity, because she's really, really busy. I don't know, for those of you who have been on production sets, or at least if you've been on a shoot, you see the amount of work that goes into just producing a couple of minutes of time. For those of you who are content creators yourselves, you've seen how long it takes you just to produce, say, 5 minutes of content. Like, you can spend an entire day, and 5 minutes is what you get out of it edited. So that's what we decided. So she'll be doing some things in Jinja. I'll be doing some things here in Kampala, where I am. And when we are reunited, we will definitely do one together. And if she's free and available and, you know, the stars align, we'll definitely maybe do a Zoom one if that's something that she can actually do. So welcome back, and I hope everyone's doing good. Right now, it has been, I came with a plan of what I wanted to say. Believe me, I did. I had my list written down. Guys, you know I'm an organized chick. Like, I had my list written down. I wasn't going to be all over the place. But I'm truly curious as to how you're doing and how you've been. And during this time, how you've been coping with everything, and how are you getting back to, air quotes here, normal? I know a lot has probably changed in your life, and I have to applaud you and give you props for doing really amazing. Sometimes you might feel like you're not, but trust me, we see you, we recognize you, we know you're putting in the work, and we appreciate you for that, and I hope you appreciate yourself for that. When it comes to health, I had a health scare probably a week ago. I hadn't been feeling well this past month, and of course with everything that's going on, I'm so sorry for the noise in the background, but with everything that's going on, there is a, I'd say, a fear of, you know, what if it's this, what if it's that. So I only finally had a checkup maybe last week, just a week ago, from the day I'm recording this. And for the first time in my life, like, I am a healthy person, thank God, have been for most of my life. So I have never really experienced what it is to actually go through all these medical checkups and tests. And I've done it for work, like, you know, just do it because you have to do it, you know, if you're going to be employed somewhere, that's normally the requirement. They want to make sure everything checks out. So I've done the general checkup, but nothing invasive, nothing that makes me feel like, ugh, gosh, is there something wrong? For the first time in my life, I had to do, let me just explain what happened. So one evening I was visiting my folks, and I was just leaving. I was getting ready to say goodbye to them, and I was leaving because, you know, curfew is still a thing. And this shooting pain came on my left side, on my chest. For most of us, we know what that means. I mean, you've seen, either you've witnessed someone having a heart attack or a heart issue. You've either seen it in the movies, like, something always lets you know it's the left side. It will be your chest. You'll know it. When you feel it, you know it. You won't even doubt it. Guys, I literally thought I was having a heart attack. And of course, my parents and my siblings were around me, and everyone was sort of went into a bit of a panic, like, what's going on? Because I was experiencing whatever you think were the signs or symptoms of a heart attack: shooting pain on my left side, shortness of breath. I could not breathe. It was so, so painful. I felt like someone was stabbing me in my heart. So later on, got first aid from my dad. He gave me his inhaler that works for people who have heart conditions. You can either take a puff of that inhaler. So that's what I took, got the first aid, and I felt better instantly. I had a brief, like, microsecond, is it microsecond or millisecond, of thinking, that was a fluke. Like, how did that happen? But I felt better. So I was just like, oh, I feel good now. I feel really amazing. You know, that medicine was fantastic. I'm there sort of trying to like calm everybody's fears down. And instead what I'm doing is just elevating them because they're thinking that is heart medication. If it worked that well, that means that you have a heart problem. That could be something that you have to consider. Guys, when I tell you that I couldn't sleep for 2 days straight, like it wasn't like sleep in the nighttime did not come easy. It was naps during the day that saved me. Like at least I'd grab an hour here and there, 30 minutes here and there. So finally, I get my appointment with a cardiologist, managed to go and see a cardiologist. And then I'm told the cardiologist immediately after hearing, oh, shout out to Dr. Kello, who's amazing, by the way. He tells me immediately, I doubt it has anything to do with your heart, but you know what? Let's just do the necessary tests to put your heart at ease. And pun intended, put your heart at ease and, you know, your parents and family. So that's what we did. So I did a chest x-ray at Ruby's Medical. Once again, shout out, there are some pretty amazing medical centers in the country. Ruby's Medical, for those of you who live in Kampala, they're based, located at Lukoko Bypass. So Google Maps is your friend. Just, you know, type them in and you'll be able to find them. Amazing customer care service, clean facilities, professionalism, chef's kiss. So I went, did my x-ray, had the x-ray done. Never had a chest x-ray. I was just like, yeah, what's going on? Like, I start thinking of all these waves and I'm just like, aren't these things cancerous? Like, anyway, I was just going through the emotions. And thankfully, I was with my mom the entire time. Like, yes, I am that girl. I will go with my mother to see the doctor because I needed someone who was an assurance, a very steady rock. And my mom was with me the entire day. And of course, we made it a girl's day out in a way as well. We went and had lunch later on, just hanging out, went shopping, the usual shebang. And it had been a while since we had done that together. So did the chest x-ray, came back to Heart Institute. It's called Heart Services. They're at Kitgum House. If you ever need to see a cardiologist, that's where you should go. So that's where I went and I came back. I did my blood test, did the ECG, echo. I had never done any of these things. And this experience that I had as someone who's going through a health scare, long story short, it was not my heart. My lungs were fine, but it had something to do with the sheath that encompasses my lungs, if I have that correctly. So that was, it's a very thin membrane and it's covered in nerves, but it's very thin and very sensitive. So once that rubs up against my rib cage, that was what was causing that shooting pain. And just for context sake, I had had these pains before. They had happened during lockdown, but I just thought it's anxiety, it's stress, it's all these things. So I brushed it off, but it was a very, very scary episode. I don't know why I forgot about it, but I did. And then when I had that pain happen to me a week ago is when the memories came back, and I could actually trace back as far as my teenage years when I used to get these shooting pains. So when the doctor explained that, no, it has to do with this membrane, and you just have to take this medication, have it with you at all times, and just take it for 2 days. I think it's a pretty powerful painkiller, so I only need to take it for 2 days, which is what I got. And yeah, so I went back to my life as normal. I was also told to start doing some deep breathing exercises. So guys, just having been through that for just one day, or let's say it has stretched over 5 days since the time I'd had it leading up to when I went to see the doctor and then got the good results, the good news, I have never in my life been so glad to be told I am normal. Most times you want to hear that you're unique, right? In medical situations, you don't. You just want to hear normal, 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 like within the normal range, normal, normal, normal. Anything that starts being abnormal or below or more than, you start going, hey, it's going to bring me problems, right? But I thank God and I continue to thank God for my health. So just this morning, that was the thing, I'd been low on energy for close to a month and I couldn't quite figure out why I was feeling like that. So thank God I had this checkup and it sort of helped me know that, okay, when it comes to breathing, our breath is very important, clearly, but how we breathe is also important. So that's something I'd also encourage you to do. If you're like me and you find yourself holding your breath, which is what I do quite a lot, I would say just practice deep breathing. You know, the deep breaths in and then you just hold it in a couple of seconds and then breathe out through your mouth. So breathe in deeply through your nose and then just hold for maybe 2-3 seconds or as long as you can, and then let it out in 4 counts. I think I have to remind myself to do that throughout the day, and I'm good with doing that. I have a feeling how I'm breathing and my energy levels and a whole bunch of other things I'm sure are all connected, but I'm going to start with the breathing. So going through that whole experience just made me think about who advocates for the patient. You know, I think when someone is ill, that humming you hear in the background is a boat. I'm not fancy like that, but I do live near the lake, so you can hear a boat on the lake. This is Lake Victoria, guys. It's like, what, is it the second largest lake in the world? Just to give you context, like, there are millions of us who live near the lake, so it's not flexing or anything. It just happens that I grew up in this neighborhood, and I've always loved living near Lake Victoria, and I, even when I was working, I was so glad that I was working by a sea. That was fantastic. I loved every single minute of it. Those birds are quite common that you hear out in the open. So I was curious about, you know, who advocates for the patient, because when people fall sick and when we fall sick, because this was my experience, falling sick, you're sort of stripped bare, not only physically, actually having to take off your clothes and get a checkup, because of course you need to have a checkup. If someone has to check your lungs, your heart, your kidney, your what, you know, you they don't want to do it through your clothes. You have to get bare. But the atmosphere sometimes in these places, it's just a bit, you have to be mentally prepared for it. And what I found myself doing was just detaching from my body. At some point, I just felt like I had to detach because it just felt so weird. And, you know, it's on me, because normally what I do before I have any sort of, before I go through anything, and I'm telling you literally anything, if I've never been through it before, I Google it. Like, I immediately look it up. I'll go to YouTube, I'll find, see the video, like, how is it done? Tell me what exactly is going to happen, so that I walk in prepared. That's just who I am. I love to know what's coming around the corner, especially when it's something I don't know. And then I in turn go and tell other people, I'm like, if you're going for this, you have to make sure you do this. So I think that's even one of the reasons, maybe this is TMI, but anyway, it's one of the reasons why when it comes to doing visits, I think this could be the reason why some of us are hesitant to go see the doctor. Like, for a lot of women I know, you know, once you've had your last baby, like, you're not going back to see a gynecologist. For some, be honest, you're not going back to see a gynecologist. For the men, I don't know the last time you went, or even the first time you went and had a prostate exam, but I hope you go and get that stuff checked out. It's extremely important, and we need you around. But just speaking to my ladies for a moment here, the last time we ever went for, you know, checkups, maybe it was when we were much younger because of school, because our schools here in Uganda used to insist on a full medical checkup. So once that's done, you're like, not doing this anymore. And then maybe later on, if, you know, we decide that you're sexually active, or that you get, you know, you decide to get pregnant and have babies, you have to see a gynecologist. But once you're done, or the last child, it's like, I'm not going back, I'm good, like, I'm fine. You'd rather not, you know, you'd rather chew pins or something before you'd go back. And it makes me question, maybe it's because of the experience that we have, right? At least if there was some level of catering to the patient, it would be fantastic. Like, putting up screens and making sure the bed isn't cold, for goodness sake, or making sure that AC isn't on while you're in the room, or at least, you know, preparing you for it as you're coming in. Because I see that with a lot of our patients, you know, you just see that, because of course we know what seems to be most important, and what is important is treating this person. So privacy sort of has to go out the window. But I don't know, and I'd love to hear from other doctors, like, what do you do to make your patients feel comfortable, and what can we do to either advocate for ourselves, because that's also important. You know, if we don't speak up about what we need, how will other people know what to do? I'm curious about that in terms of experiences with doctors, and I really want to start doing full medical exams, like a full medical exam at least once a year. Just do the full physical, make sure I'm all good, that everything is working. Right now, I know my priorities, like my eyes, my teeth, my, you know, internally it would be my organs, checking for breast cancer. There are all these things that we have to be aware of as we get older that we have to check for. Do you have a history of hypertension in your family, or diabetes? These are things you have to start checking into, at least if you're in your 30s. By your late 20s, early 30s, you should have started these checkups just to see, you know, if there is a history in your family, you should keep an eye on these things. So on the good news front, what has been happening now because of all of the medical exams and whatnot and getting the good news that I was fine, it sort of helped me with my mind and trying to get a mind shift. But now I was trying to figure out how to get back into the swing of things. Like, how do I get myself back into action mode? Because I feel like I'm no longer operating. And I know I'm no longer operating at what I used to, let's say, last year. Like, I just, my energy levels have dipped in a way that it doesn't make sense to me. So I thought, let me try watching stories about other people who have most likely overcome, you know, some really incredible physical roadblocks and how they've been able to overcome them. So there are two documentaries that I highly, highly recommend, guys. Highly recommend. The first one is called Tina. It's by the famous, it's a documentary about the famous rock and roll musician Tina Turner, Miss Tina Turner herself. And I think Tina Turner has most likely told her story about two times in her lifetime. I think she's now in her late 70s. But that documentary goes deep. There's a beauty about being able to tell your own story. When you are in control of the narrative, it peels back the layers and lets people know, because there's always more to it than we say in public, you know? And sometimes it's just not enough time to talk about it. You have a few seconds. It's a bite. It's a news bite. 30 seconds, that's all you have. And people just pick something and they run with it because it's more sensational. But I think what's happening during this time of COVID and everything happening is people are becoming more empathetic. They're becoming more, I'm assuming here, but this is what I feel. People are becoming more empathetic. People are becoming more understanding and more willing to listen. You know, when you see what was happening in America, especially with the whole Black Lives Matter movement, the Me Too movement, all of this going on, it's now beginning to realize that people have a right to say how they feel and they have a right to talk about their stories, right? So Tina's story, she was fed up that her story had been one of abuse, you know? And she does say that my life is just a story of pain. You know, it's, I don't like it, but I have come to accept it. Her relationship with her husband, Ike Turner, has dominated her relationship and her story, no matter what she has done. And when you listen to the interviews, like, you know, with Naomi Osaka coming out and talking about mental health and the importance of it and what happens to athletes and even our football players after they finish playing a football game and they go to the newsroom, or I don't know what that room is called, but they have to answer all these questions from these reporters that are just so, some of them are just so thoughtless, some of them are cruel, but you know they're doing it because they're trying to get a reaction. And it's almost like we demand of people to be machines and superhuman. And you know, if you want to be the best tennis player in the world, then you should be able to handle that pressure. You know, if you're going to be a superstar singer, musician, whatever it is, you have to be able to answer that. And also just coming to realize that just because these people are good at what they do in this specific area does not entitle us to know about their personal lives. Like, we are not entitled to know. They have every right to keep certain things private about them if they want to. And they also have a choice to talk about things if they want to. There's some who are totally okay with sharing, and that's their portion, and they're fine with it. So Tina having to go through all of that, and you see, hear the questions she's asked during interviews, and it didn't matter whether it was in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, it's the same thing. So did you know that Ike was arrested? How do you feel about that? Did you know she's promoting her movie, Mad Max? They're asking her about Ike Turner. She's promoting her... her world tour, they're asking her about Ike Turner. It was so frustrating. But what I loved about listening and watching that documentary, and I think it's under 2 hours, it's a beautiful documentary, was her honesty, just to be herself and just live her life and just be like, I'm going to bow off the stage when I want to, and I'm ready to do that. She gave so much to be at that level. And it's so weird to hear, like, when she was 40 years old, when she actually finally hit it big and did that world tour, Tina was considered middle-aged. Like, she was 40. Like, she was young, but she was considered middle-aged. They had written her off the company. Her label didn't want to represent her. Her label didn't want to push for her album. You know, what's love got to do with it? What was simply the best? It's ridiculous, guys. Like, you watching that, please just go and watch it and just understand what Tina, I think I guarantee you'll be inspired. So another documentary that I had been putting off, but I was totally gripped when I saw the poster work, is Tiger by Tiger Woods. And I just watched that last night. There are no words to describe how amazing that documentary is. Please, please go and watch it. Everything that you're curious to know about Tiger Woods, well, not almost everything, but at least whatever questions that you had had about Tiger Woods during this entire time, if you had been a fan and, you know, you had watched his rise in the 90s like we had all done, and, you know, you were cheering and rooting for him from his rise to his fall to his rise again. It is a beautifully told story, and it will peel back the layers of this man who is so complicated and so controlled. And I'm so amazed. I don't know, because I haven't yet done, in my excitement, I didn't do my research to find out, you know, was he behind the documentary? Because when I saw end credits, I didn't see him. But when I looked at all the archive material that they had got, that could have only have been gotten from his personal library, you know, or a close family friend. Everybody whom you are curious about in Tiger's life is in that documentary. From his parents, his past girlfriends, before he got married, when he got married, the scandal that happened with him, and I'm sure you all know about it. And let me tell you, it has made me, I understand now that I was really never a true fan of Tiger Woods. I say this because I was quick to write him off like everybody else. I was one of the people who completely misunderstood him when he said he did not consider himself a black man. That's not what he said. And the actual interview on Oprah, I don't know why I'm surprised, the actual interview on Oprah was there where he actually explained. Right now, what he said then would most likely be okay now, I think. But the truth of the matter is, in America, he's considered a black man, right? And in essence, we also see him as a black man. But he has every single right to define himself as he chooses, right? Watch that documentary. It will make you understand this man and admire him. I mean, even if you did not like Tiger Woods or you couldn't care less, watch him for the mere fact just to see how this man was able to overcome his challenges. The key takeaway that I got, never underestimate Tiger Woods, ever. You do that at your own detriment. Like, even now, I think he's probably mid-40s, if I'm not mistaken, mid to late 40s. A man is doing amazing work. And I know just recently he was in a bad car crash and he's already on the path to recovery. And it's just a beautiful documentary. Just watch it. It's a true evolution of a person. It's also a cautionary tale to parents. How we raise our children and how much they actually look to us and how much of us they take on. But at the end of the day, it's still a beautiful story. And I honestly believe you'll enjoy it. So another good news, what happened to me in August last year, I appeared on Robert Kapschinger's show 360 Mentor. It's probably the first video interview I've done in maybe 10, 15 years, if I'm not mistaken. I was very reluctant in the past to be on camera, much as I love being behind it and I love telling people stories. But to be in front of the camera talking about myself, I haven't done that in ever, actually. Let me be honest, I haven't done that ever. So I'm so glad that he was my first interviewer and it went so well and I had so much fun on the show. I'm going to put the link in the description box so that you guys can check it out and you let me know what you think. Okay, other than that, I learned how to step out of my own comfort zone. So I'm getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I would love to know more about what you guys do to help yourself step out of your comfort zone, because I feel like this next decade of my life is definitely a shift from what it used to be from my 30s. So like my 40s to my 50s, I want this to be a completely new chapter and very different as to how I live my life. And one of the things that I'm doing right now is probably slow living, if that makes sense. Like, I'm only taking on work that I want to take on, but it's not in a flippant way. And also, just to put it into context, I have earned my time to actually say this. Worked very hard in my teen years, in my late teens, in my 20s and 30s, that I now want this decade to be almost my season of harvest, if that makes sense, when I can actually now decide how I want to work and when I want to work. So yeah, guys, I think that's it. We've spoken for quite a bit, rather. I've spoken and you've listened to me. So I'd like to hear from you what else you'd like to see. We've had a couple of you give us some amazing suggestions. We're going to be bringing back an old favorite and some new friends to introduce you to. And we're just going to have fun here, guys. So stay well, stay safe, and stay positive, honestly. Sending you loads of love. Big, big virtual hugs. Until next time. Bye.